Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining in. Let's Face the Issues broadcast today. This is Dr. Youngblood. Looking forward to not only today, but for a great week as we face the issues. I pray that you had a great Father's Day worship time in your church. I pray that you had an opportunity to be with your fathers, your families. One of the greatest things that we can have in our homes today are godly fathers, the dads that love the Lord and will take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Point his family in that direction. Get them into the Word of God and get them into the safety of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. I pray that you had that wonderful experience over the weekend for Sunday in particular, for the special day that's set aside for Father's Day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about something today that I think we need to bring together and coalesce in our minds and understand the fundamental foundational rationale behind it and what is happening. I call it the Great American Divide. The Great American Divide. One writer said, the division or the divide between Americans is getting wider and wider according to the polls, end quote. But ladies and gentlemen, if we face issues like this we're speaking of today, or any issue in life, may I remind us the best source book to go to, the best place to seek an answer, is in the Word of God. Jesus reminded his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen, there are a lot of folks that will misquote, abuse, and slaughter that verse or those two verses. Many will say, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's a half truth. That's a half truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, that's the word of God. If you continue in my word, then when? After you continue in his word, then you're my disciples indeed. You're truly a follower of Christ. Indeed simply means truly a follower of Christ. And then ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, truth is only found in the Word of God. From cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, it is truth. It's not just a source book for truth where you can find partial truth or you can find occasional truth. The Word of God, the Bible, is truth in totality. That is a misused, abused, hated word today, truth. If you want there to be separation and division, tell the truth. If you want there to be conflict and confusion, stand on the truth, and you'll find that in response from the world in which we're living in today. Ladies and gentlemen, we must recognize that the Word of God is the only hope that we have in life. Without the Word of God, there's no hope, there's no help, there's no healing, there's no strength without the Word of God. But I think, as this particular writer said, the divide between Americans is getting wider and wider according to the polls. Let me just give you an understanding of that. I think that all, if not most of us, agree that we find within the realm of political, cultural, spiritual, social, a great divide. And I believe that divide is increasingly becoming more, evident and facing us every day. It is becoming more evident and profound in the world in which we live today. What are some of these things that's causing some of this? Let me just give you a whole litany, not that we're going to talk about these individually, but if you think about the Great American Divide, my mind goes to a lot of the activity that's taking place today in the realm of the sit-ins, the demonstrations, the marches, the anti-this and the anti-that groups that we find. Today in America, we have so many divisive groups. The Women's March group, socialistically inspired. We have the Black Lives Matter, a total Marxist-inspired socialist endeavor, Antifa. Then we have those that are anti-guns, anti-Trump. We find the LGBT marches. We find the Save Mother Earth marches. We find the U.S. flag being protested and burned and desecrated. Rallies against hate, college campus protest. We find dozens and dozens of others, and some of the most egregious ones of late come up that they're not necessarily demonstrating, but the Southern Poverty Law Center, known as the SPLC, spewing hate, destroying, trying to destroy Christian ministries and Christian organizations and Christian groups that happen to stand against abortion, that happen to stand against Islam, that happen to stand against the LGBTQI sodomite movement in America today. And most of these groups, ladies and gentlemen, are funded by the anti-American known as George Soros. Now, with that being said, and I could name a dozen others, this is just a tip of the iceberg. George Soros has some 209 different corporate entities, organizations. All of them are designed as phony false fronts to suck others into the organization that's designed to undermine, tear down, and destroy the warp and the woof. That's the actual fabric of the United States of America. But ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about this divide, I believe that it is getting wider and wider. The survey here, it is a new survey by the Pew Social Trends Group, shows urban populations are increasingly Democrat and the rural voters are increasingly Republican, with distinct differences on same-sex marriage, immigration, and many, many other issues. The article further says Americans in urban and rural communities have widely different views when it comes to social and political issues, from feelings about Donald Trump to the views on immigration and same-sex marriage. There are wide gaps between urban and rural adults, according to the latest research by Pew. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that these divisions are mega, major, tectonic divisions. At one time, there'd just be a little disagreement. You could say, well, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, and I believe this or I believe that, and there'd still be a social camaraderie. Or a spiritual camaraderie. That is no longer the case. And one of the major reasons, ladies and gentlemen, comes into the fact that in Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus is asked about the end time and how will we know it and what are some of the signs, Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 4, and I'm going to read you verse 4 through 10 and just comment briefly because I believe this is the fundamental foundation of what would be called the causative factor of these great divisions. And I realize, and we'll talk about it in a minute, that there's a vast division and difference between the so-called Democrats and the Republicans. But I think it gets down deeper than just Democrat and Republican. Gets down deeper than that. It gets down to a heart issue. Gets down to a moral issue. Gets down to a spiritual issue. Gets down to a saved issue. And the fact that we're living in the last days. Verse 4 of Matthew 24, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many, that's the word for megas, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive megas, many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumblings and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. And ladies and gentlemen, you can check that out in the Greek text. It's ethnos. Ethnos, every ethnos and ethnos, ethnic groups, shall rise against ethnic groups, and basileon's kingdoms against basileon's kingdoms, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. With pestilences there, of course, meaning diseases. And all these things are only the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, word is scandalon, stumble and fall, and shall betray one another, listen, and shall hate one another. Ladies and gentlemen, we have animus and hate today among the nation's populace more than it's ever been in the history of our nation. We're looking at today major divisions. What are some of these points of division? Some of them are political issues. the Democrats versus the Republicans, social issues, social and moral and spiritual issues, issues about sodomite marriage, issues about the LGBT group, issues about Black Lives Matter, issues about Antifa, issues about the marches and the demonstrations, issues about spiritual things, religious, theological, doctrinal, biblical things. I'll talk about it one day this week, but recently on one of the Fox News commentator dialogues and discussions, a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat made the statement that what's happening at the border is a violation of Matthew 25 and an abomination to God. And if you wonder what's in Matthew 25, ladies and gentlemen, verses 31 through 46 is dealing with the return of Christ and what he'll do for judging nations. Has nothing to do with, as this particular loose, lax, lost liberal went on to say on the broadcast, that is because of the way we're dividing families at the border. Well, let me just give you a little simple, succinct, tying up loose ends answer to that. If they get to the border illegally, it should be divided. Now you say, oh, I'm ashamed of you. I don't believe you said that. Yes, if you come to the border, you knowing that if you cross, that according to the laws that were put on there at the behest of Chuck Schumer and other liberal Democrats years ago, that gives the authority the right to divide the families at the border. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, you can either divide the families and start doing the process of whether you keep them or not, or you can simply do, as the law requires, send them back. If they travel 1,000 miles, if they travel 500 miles or 200 miles, and they know that they get to the border, they're going to be shipped back, that'll stop and that'll deter and defer any further problems at the border. That's another story, another issue for another broadcast. But simply put, it points out so often of how we're having this great division, and it's because of the mentality. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, let me just say this up front. If you're listening and you love the Lord, I'm thankful for you. If you're listening and you're lost, I pray that you'll get saved. But if you're listening today and you're a Democrat, I need to ask you to pray and ask God to forgive you. Why do I say that? How can anyone be for a party, for a platform that's for murder by way of abortion, where 61 plus million children have been murdered in the mother's womb, and the Democratic Party stands for that? If you're saved and if you're a Christian, how can you be joined with and co-joined with a party that exemplifies and pushes for sodomite marriage and sodomite relationships when the Bible is very, very clear and explicit that God destroyed two cities as a result of that abomination, as he calls it in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. He gave them up for a reprobate mind, verse 26, 27, 28 tells us. So the point is, ladies and gentlemen, we have a great divide, and some can talk about it being a Democrat-Republican divide, but it goes much deeper than that. The divide, the divisiveness, is a result of the heart and the relationship to Jesus Christ. There's a major sense today that somehow, some way, the conservatives are wrong when we're on the other side of the fence about abortion and about traditional family values. When we're on the other side of the aisle, as the Democrats call it, about the issue of pot being sold on every street corner across America. When it comes to homosexuality and the sodomite issues. When it comes to spiritual norms and church attendance. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, there's a vast, vast divide. We're talking about the great American divide. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dr. Youngblood. I pray that somehow, some way during the course of this broadcast today, you'll be spurred to give pondering and consideration as to what you ought to do. If you want to join in this dialogue and discussion, ladies and gentlemen, you can do so by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Get you straight through to the studio and right to the microphone so that we can have dialogue and discussion. What are some of the percentages, according to the polls, that make the vast differences in this great American divide? Well, 57% of the rural respondents said the surging number of newcomers from other countries threaten American values. Now, you might want to disagree with that or argue with that, but that's according to the survey that was done, I think, in a proper form with the Pew Research Group in particular. And it says that basically there's a difference. In fact, in the major article, it's about 5-10 pages, in the major article on that subject, talks about the rural area being what's called flyover America. That is, you look at your East Coast, you look at your West Coast, and everything in between is referred to as flyover America. And in the flyover America, you find the overwhelming preponderance of evidence. You have the overwhelming number of those in flyover America that are Republican, according to this research. And those that are consider themselves Republican, for the most part, consider themselves as having a relationship to God through Jesus Christ. That's an astounding factual figure. All we need to do is examine what the waves of immigrants are doing and understand why rural America is saying that it's harmful for America. All you need to do is look at France and Germany and Italy and England, and we discover that, yes, these immigrants, especially those that are coming in from Islamic nations, have dramatically, irreversibly changed the demographics of those nations. Germany is now in a battle for her sovereignty because of Islamic control coming in. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your call or your comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Doc. We had a nice strong signal from 11:30 to 11:42 until you made the comment about the Democrats. Now we're back into static and not being able to hear you in southern part of the Clay County. That notwithstanding, you probably have people listening online. And I want to say ditto now to what you just said. So many people will dismiss your words with, a lot of angry things sent back to you. But what you just spoke is absolutely true, can easily be verified if you put the existing platforms of both parties next to each other with the Word of God in between it. And you will find the following to be true, at least in the rational world that I live in. The Republican Party, full of having holes in its cheese, is not necessarily the saintly organization we'd like it to be. However, that said, you can place the Democrat platform right next to the Bible, and you can very easily show that if you're a Democrat, you are absolutely going against the most basic doctrines of the faith. And you nailed the first one that began in Genesis 1:28, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. No rational person who claims to be a Christian can in any way support abortion or any of the other nonsense the Democrats, represented by Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, and that
Chuck Schumer,
who was our president for a while, stand for. These people are as corrupt and as anti-God as any human being can be. And what my Southern Baptist folks were, the folks I used to affiliate with call Southern Baptists, did what they did in Dallas this week, embracing Me Too agenda, feminism, Black Lives Matter, and all the other social things that are nothing more than cultural Marxism. That was a huge indicator of the exponential declension of our culture into judgment. And I want to repeat one more time, a version of what you said. You cannot be a Christian other than maybe a brand new, just come to Christ Christian. You can't be a maturing Christian and be a Democrat, period.
It's an impossibility, isn't it? Because it's everything that you believe in of the Democratic platform is antithetical to the Word of God.
It is a rational impossibility, and frankly, I don't think it was an accident that you became unhearable again after you made that statement. So, listen, continue the broadcast. I'm going to continue online. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. God bless you for your call, and you're exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the great American divide. Our nation is divided socially, ethically, morally, politically, and spiritually. That great divide is manifesting itself greater and greater every day in a more profound fashion as there are large groups that are trying to get involved in the political process and in the social ethical process. And as our caller just mentioned just last week with the Southern Baptist Convention approving, basically embracing in their approval of the leadership going forward, the approval of what is called social justice. And in the social justice movement, it includes just about everything that we find that's antithetical to the Word of God. And we'll talk about that a little further in just a moment. But may I remind us, this survey that I'm talking about, 57% of rural respondents said the surging number of newcomers from other countries threaten American values. And I just digress to examine what's happening in other countries across all of Europe, and they're exactly right when they say that. This poll further says, the survey says, 61% of the urban, that is, city areas, say that abortion should be universally legal, yet only 46% of those in what's called flyover America say that is the case. This study said that a large demographic shift are now reshaping America. Ladies and gentlemen, this demographic shift is a major, major, profound shift. Here's an article that says 80% of Americans believe in God. The Pew Research found out what they really mean. And the article starts out, does God talk to you? Has God punished you? Here's how denomination, gender, and political party relate to how we see this divine person is God. We believe in God. Amy Grant famously saying in the 1990s, today, 4 out of 5 will say the same thing. But according to the new survey from a Pew Research group, what they mean by God varies a lot. Pastors and theologians often warn Christians against ascribing to a God, quote, a God of their own making, end quote, knowing that not all who say they believe understand God as described in Scripture or in the traditional creeds of the church. In this shifting political landscape, spiritual political landscape of the United States, Christians, too, can no longer assume that their friends and their neighbors believe in the God of the Bible if they believe in God at all. The article further states, though God regularly gets evoked in prayer, platitudes, and phrases like God bless America and in God we trust, Americans, even within Christianity, have different conceptions of who God is and how he operates. And the article has a little footnote. The Pew Research released today found that how people view God and how they believe God interacts with them shifts by religious affiliation, gender, and political affiliation or party affiliation. That may give you a good indication, ladies and gentlemen, of what's causing this great American divide. And we have, as a result of the great American divide, Christians being more and more hated in society. But Jesus said, marvel not if the world hate you. Jesus reminded us that the world hated him first. And we have organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center that's absolutely a hate-monger, hate-baiting, race-hate-baiting organization in America, raising hundreds of millions of dollars to divide Americans. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a vast difference between what Democrats and Republicans believe about God, a vast difference in that. In fact, here's an article. Let me just read you a little portion. This article subtitle is What Republicans and Democrats Believe About God. Americans who lean toward the Republican Party tend, now this is not my words, ladies and gentlemen, listen. This is from a Pew Research poll survey, a Pew Research project. And Pew is renowned for having some pretty statistical data, pretty solid statistical data in their findings. Americans who lean toward the Republican Party tend to be more religious than those who lean toward Democratic Party, a pattern that also gets reflected in how they think of God. In the survey, those on the GOP, the Grand Old Party side, were more likely to believe in a biblical God. Hear that? A biblical God. 70% of Republicans versus 45% of Democrats. Among those who believe, more Republicans viewed God as loving, all-knowing, all-powerful, and Democrats only 49%. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a vast, vast difference, and that difference causes the great American divide in society today. But it gets even more complicated and more diverse than that. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we're dealing with today is the millennial age group that's come to the point now where the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, they're becoming more and more in charge of every aspect of life, in our churches, in our homes, in our families, in our government, in our local authorities. The 18 to 35-year-old age group are sliding into the slots of leadership and in a profound way making a profound difference in the landscape of America today. Out of the totality of that age group, only 4%, ladies and gentlemen, have a biblical worldview. Within that 4%, ladies and gentlemen, listen, 57% of that 4% believe that drugs are okay. Sodomite marriages are okay. Homosexuality is okay. It's not sinful. The devil is not real. Hell does not exist. Sin is simply relevant to one's own thinking and choosing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article here that's frightening. The title of the article is Why the Millennials Are Socialist. Why the Millennials Are Socialist. That should frighten the socks off any Christian. It should frighten us to death as Americans. This article goes on to say, by now, you've most likely seen the polls reporting that roughly half of the millennials have favorable views of socialism. The article goes on to say, many millennials now view socialism favorably, and they can't even define it. How do you like that? The millennials say, we want socialism. They can't define it. If I have a favorable view of socialism, then I'm quite likely to vote for the socialist, no matter what I can't define in his ideology, the article says, of the socialist. And ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing that frightens the socks off me. Let me just go down this list very briefly. It's extensive, but I'm going to make it brief for the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, you can join in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. We're talking about the Great American Divide, how the divide is manifesting itself in society, and why the divide is taking place. It comes down to a fundamental, rudimentary, elemental, foundational divide based on the who God is and what we perceive God to be, and our relationship to God through Jesus Christ as to whether one is saved or lost. That makes the difference. Here are five reasons that such a system appeals, talking about socialism, to the younger Americans. One is broken homes. And the article says, while our cultural elites want to ignore the problem, the shattering of the family unit over the past 40 years has psychologically scarred many Americans. Homes without both biological parents in them, especially those without fathers present, significantly increase the chances of depression and anxiety from children, as well as leaving them wrestling with the abandonment of issues for life. Second thing that causes the socialist mindset of the millennials today, education. As we and other pundits have warned time and time again, the education received in many of our public schools, even private schools today, intellectually forms students to the view that there is a prism that points them to socialism. It's appealing. The demise of Christianity. And I don't have time to go through all five of these, but just simply touching on the third one, we're talking about the demise of Christianity. In America, as Christianity, that is a belief in God through Jesus Christ, as Christianity continues to devolve and to fall and get lower and lower, the traditional values that's driven home by knowing the Word, studying the Word, and loving the Word causes the rise of socialism and Marxism and any of the other isms, as I would call it. It gives a sense of Christianity gives a sense of purpose in life. It helps us to govern our passions and unites us, even as it means that we will suffer together, we will love together and serve together. But all of this has largely been washed away, leaving a void in many Americans' lives, and therefore they're scrambling for something with significance. They're scrambling for something that has a sense of ideological fulfillment, and so they're going to socialism. If you don't believe that, ladies and gentlemen, talk with a millennial, 18 to 35-year-old age group. The majority of the Bernie Sanders voters in the 2016 election were millennials, and they were socialist-minded, and they don't even know what the word means. They don't have any idea what it means. But, ladies and gentlemen, let me just wrap up by saying today, there is a need in your life and in mine and the lives of all Americans to turn back to God. There's a need to go to God and recognize that we need to call upon Him. We need to humble ourselves and call on Him, turn from our wicked ways and pray and seek His face and ask Him to heal our land. And He's the only answer for society today. And I pray, ladies and gentlemen, that you've been blessed, challenged, and encouraged through this broadcast. Looking forward to the next time we can, on the air, face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.